All right, I have to thank you for the opportunity to be up here. It's an honor, and it's a nice message, or what I want to do, got shorter because Gilbert used some of the verses. So, that does happen. They better leave you out.
Thanks for putting old and new instead of old and young.
I know you're some older than me, but boy, I tell you, being 60 is rough, and I'm cheating because I always say my age a little before my birthday so I can ease into it. But I'll be 60 in a few months. I think it's very important, and what was started out with Gilbert, and I appreciate it, and that's why that cross and that blood can stay there, is that I am one of the people that I talk to all the time when I go out and do work, see somebody, ask somebody, and I have a testimony. I want to make it's real clear, especially to a non-religious person, if we can just keep a few verses in mind and just know where they are, especially if you have a King James Bible to share it with them. In Romans chapter 3, verse 10, it says there's none righteous, no, not one. Then you move down to verse 12, it's none that doeth good, no, not one. And then in 3:23, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. 6:23, wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. And a lot of this, way back when, it's a lot like the Roman road, and that's not what I'm trying to say, but those are some very clear verses. And then Gilbert used the verse in Romans 5:8, God commended his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. The gospel is that Christ died for our sins according to the scripture, was buried and rose the third day. The jailer in Acts 16:31 said, "Sirs," unto Paul and Silas, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And Paul says, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Believe that he died for your sins, was buried, and rose again the third day." And again, he didn't get this verse, but he did cover it, Gilbert. It's 5:1, we are justified by faith. And he did make very good clarifications, just as if I had not sinned. So, in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13, and it's no paraphrase, we'll read it, because all of that is just covered in that one verse. Ephesians 1:13, "In whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise." So, all of sin comes short, the wages of sin is death, we hear the gospel, and I pray we believe the gospel. So, I don't know who's in the audience saved and who isn't, but that's the gospel in brief. And so many of Paul's books, he says, grace and mercy unto the churches he's talking to. Grace being the unmerited favor, something we didn't deserve, and I love mercy because it's compassion, having pity on me, and following behind Gilbert. How could he do this? But he did, knowing everything about me. I grew up, I thought very nicely, had a fun childhood and everything. Went to kindergarten in the Methodist church, and knowing what my wife Deborah does with our grandbabies and everything, and what she's done in the church, I think I probably got a lot of the same love. I grew up with devout Catholic practicing good works, good people to be around. I love them dearly, love them very much. Then I started dating a young girl in high school. I knew there was a God, and I wanted to put him first. So we started going to a church. Her father was in the Baptist church, so we started going to the Baptist church. I was in the Baptist church for quite a while. I learned all the doctrine of the Baptist church. I even got I got a book almost this big on being a deacon for the Baptist church. In that time of being at the Baptist church, we had a movement in the United States. And you had the charismatic Baptists. They were doing what the Pentecostals were doing. Has to do with numbers, folks, but that's a whole other handling the word deceitfully. At that time, we owned a family business, and it was a vending machine business, and I had the vending machines at Jimmy Swaggart Ministries. I made it the point to be at Jimmy Swaggart Ministries every day for lunchtime, because at lunchtime they had chapel. Mandatory chapel, I might add, but they had chapel. And I've listened to the man on on TV. I've listened to the Baptists. I'm listening to my friends that are going to, I'm going to say, the Holy Roly Baptists. And I know I love the Lord, but I've got a man that tells me I can lose my salvation. He goes to Acts chapter 3:19. I've got a church that tells me you have eternal security, yet they're asking for forgiveness of sins. I got another one telling me that I need the gift of speaking in tongues, and this is not the Assemblies of God, with dear friends there. I am perplexed, I am confused, and I know that it says that God is not the author of confusion. I got engaged and wanted to do, there was a campus crusade down in New Orleans, can't remember the name of it, a marriage encounter. Went as being engaged, see what it's like, and met some people from Berean Bible Fellowship and Dennis Friends, Pastor Elder Kirkpatrick's church. The funny thing, I wanted to know the truth. It's funny, but it's like what Gilbert's saying, how powerful this is. I went back, Melanie and I went back the next year, and I want you to know those same people were there. Why would they be there 2 years in a row? It's so that the grace of God could be poured out on me and on them. They were a lot smarter the second year. They challenged me. For 2.5 years, I went to that church. I helped Obed Tate. I helped Elvin sing. I helped do chores, you know, around the church, fellowship, and listen to the gospel. But I had a fear in me. And the fear was to be lost and dying and going to hell. Because I know this. All the denominations know that. All of them could tell you about that. But by the grace of God, Obed preached a message on the faith of Christ. Him going to the work, up to the cross, and doing the will and the work of his Father. And all I wanted was to do one more thing, the one acceptable thing that would save my soul. One thing. Everything was done by Christ. It's called in Galatians chapter 2:16, the faith of Christ. Amen. And that's found in the King James Bible. But you know, the funny thing, thinking about this and praising God for this, and I got saved. The funny thing about this is that you know that's still an ounce of pride. That's a smidgen of pride. Whatever it is vanity that is keeping me out. Just the most amazing, because I didn't think that. It didn't hit me till last year here or 2 years ago that I just still had pride. So I'm saved. There's anybody out there that's not saved, that's not righteous, does not do good. We've all sinned, and they're all going to hell. And Gilbert said something. Do you know where you're going to, he said, you need to know where you're going to spend your eternity. Everybody wants to be eternal. I want to be eternal. You know what, folks? Everybody's eternal. Is it up or is it down? So, that's why you'll have, I mean, I'm looking at a table of people that have always just lit my life up. These preachers over here, and Byron. And I listen to them, and I listen to Donald. And you'll hear it, and we need to hear it, because if you go out and witness, you hear it. You've got people walking the aisle, confessing, asking forgiveness for sins, being baptized. Everything that you'll hear on a Sunday, because that's what's going on. I talked to a man in Ripley, Tennessee, had a job, asked him where he would spend eternity. He says, oh, I got baptized at 3 years of age. My mother and father made me get baptized. Then I got baptized as a teenager, and then he does this. But I got baptized for myself. I did it. So, there are people that think that baptism is crucial to salvation. I talked to another gentleman the other day. Deborah and I were working at an automobile dealership. He says, well, I know I talked to him about salvation because he worked for me many years ago. And he says, I'm reading my Bible. I said, well, do you know who your apostle is? And he couldn't answer the question. I said, but he says, I'm working hard and I'm reading Revelations. Well, you take it. Working really hard and reading Revelations. So, and he'd almost died. He'd had an accident where a drunk driver had hit him, and he has lost an eye. And so, again, I brought the question up to him, you know. But he was working on it. So I went to the simplicity of the gospel, that why are you working on something that was taken care of 2,000 years ago? Mm-hmm. He says, well, we're supposed to work. I said, you work because you've been saved. You do works of righteousness for the Lord, not works to be saved. Christ did the work. So I'm just saying, just some two quick examples, and you all know this when you're out there talking to people, baptism and works. So, and we can go into other lists, but just be prepared and know that that's what we're up against. Just real short, I'm not going to spend a whole lot of time on this. I didn't think I was doing this. I'm going to find out you are. And that's okay. You need to be prepared and to be ready. And I, like I said, I enjoy the opportunity. Gilbert read a verse. It was Romans chapter 5, verse 10, that we are enemies of God. But turn to Colossians 1:21. So we can just be sure about it. Colossians 1:21. And you that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled. And I like that word, being reconciled. There is nothing that the old man can bring to God. Absolutely nothing. If you're an enemy, there's nothing. And Gilbert covered that nicely, so that was great. But with salvation, we can be a new man. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9, everybody knows it. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself, but the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. And again, if you don't know that verse, Ephesians 2, 8 and 9, it tells you it's nothing about you and everything that Christ did. We are purchased. And that was covered briefly by Gilbert. But what I want to talk about, the old man and the new man. Turn to Jeremiah chapter 64. No, you're right. Good enough. 18:6 will do that. Kind of like Psalm 103 and 130. Thanks, Bob. Jeremiah 18:6. O house of Israel, can I do with you as this potter? Saith the Lord, behold, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are ye in my hand, O house of Israel. Pay attention to the theme. God's saying he as is the potter. Now we'll go to Isaiah 64. Definitely clean papers. Isaiah 64, verse 8. But now, O Lord, thou art our Father, we are the clay, and thou our potter, and we all are the work of thy hand. And of course, these are two scriptures written for the nation of Israel, but God is called the potter. Let's see what our apostle has to say, Romans chapter 9. All right, Romans chapter 9, verse 20. Nay, but, O man, who art thou that repliest against God? Shall the thing formed say to him that formed it, why hast thou made me thus? Hath not the potter power over the clay of the same lump to make one vessel unto honor and another unto dishonor? Where I want to go with this, as that we started out an old man, we accept the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior, we become the new man. There are marvelous things God does for us in this particular situation. It just gets better after this. It gets better after accepting Christ as our Savior. A vessel, a clay vessel, is of the earth. We have, it says in 2 Corinthians 4:7, we have this treasure in earthen vessels. It's an earthen vessel. God is the potter. He doesn't stop working on this new man. If we study to show ourselves approved unto God, a workman need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. He can mold us, shape us, make us go anywhere his word says we can go. It says in 1 Thessalonians 4:4 that we're supposed to know how to handle or how to possess our vessel. There's a war out there. There's an adversary, the devil. There's our flesh that warreth against the spirit. Paul tells us to renew our mind, to put on Christ. So this is what we wake up to every morning. He's still there. We've got some old sin nature. The only vessel that was pure without sin was Adam. Adam was created from the dust. He's a vessel. But Adam walked with God in the garden. He got knowledge from God. But Adam fell. Adam sinned. We're not sinless. We weren't perfect. We have the sin nature that Adam, our father, passed down to us. So, we need to have confidence in the potter because he's not finished with us. He's never finished with us. He doesn't leave us. He doesn't forsake us. On the contrary, if that happens, it's because we have left him and forsaken him. Our vessel is filled. The new man is filled with the Holy Spirit. I think it's interesting that you have the spirit, soul, and the body. The body is not eternal. The spirit and the soul are. But it's reversed, at least in my mind. If you can imagine a vessel, you have cups, bottles, you have the clay, and you have the soul. You're created, you have those two things, and the spirit is poured in you. So, we're not left alone by any stretch of the imagination by that. There's like a, I want to go again. We're the new man. Paul tells us in Philippians 2:12 to work out our salvation. It's not to work to be saved. It's to work so that this vessel can be pleasing unto God. Turn to 2 Timothy chapter 2. Start in verse 19, 2 Timothy 2:19. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having the seal. The Lord knoweth them that are his. And let every one that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. There's a mouthful there. But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, and also of wood and of earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and be prepared unto every good work. We can be a vessel of honor, or we can be a vessel of dishonor. And somewhere there's something in between. It's what we put in us through the Word of God, through the King James Bible, so that this vessel can be of use to God, to be a vessel of honor. And turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. To make the point, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 4. For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened, not for that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up in life. We wait for this new vessel to put on a new house, a new body made without hands. But right now, what's it do? It groans. You want to know why? We're an earthen vessel, but God is the potter. This thing, you know, just talking about a vessel and thinking about the different ways that Paul approaches this. I want to go a little bit further ahead. We're vessels. We're called temples. We're the tabernacle of God. He calls us the sons of God. We're the body of Christ. Which part? I don't know, but we all fell apart of it. We are a new creature. And like I said, we're going to get a new house, a new body. God's still the potter. That's everything he has in store for us and more. So rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Rejoice in your salvation. Rejoice that you're not left alone. Rejoice that that you can run the race. And you can finish it. As Paul says, I finished my course. And he has a prize. We all have something waiting for us. Somewhere in there, vessel of honor, vessel of dishonor. Will you let God work in you? I guess I'm humble. He did in my life. I'm saved, and I'm grateful for it. So with that, I'd like to bow our heads and pray, please. Lord, I thank you that I don't have to walk alone. We don't have to walk alone. You love us. You gave your Son for us. And you've got a hope and a calling in heavenly places for us. We are saved by grace. We're created under works of righteousness. May we be well pleasing to you. And that you do with us as the potter does with the clay. It's in Christ's name I pray. Amen.